Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, June 8th. I'm Sarith Hawk. Thousands of new homes could be coming to Fresno with the proposed Southeast Development Area, or SEDA. But some say the project could cause major issues, like decreased enrollment for the Fresno Unified School District.
We want to attract people to Fresno. We want people to come and live here. We want parents to want to send their kids to Fresno Unified. We don't need to create disadvantage.
We speak with the Fresno Unified Board President and a local union leader about why they oppose the SEDA project. Those conversations in just a moment.
Valley history is fascinating. Listen to KVPR's Central Valley Roots as we explore the stories of local people and places that make our community unique. Learn something new about our region. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our feature story. Fresno city officials are still working out the details of a proposed development shaping up just outside city limits. But until those plans are unveiled for the Southeast Development Project, or SEDA, its fiscal impact is still a big question mark. Many community advocates are concerned about how the development could affect the local economy and an already struggling Fresno Unified School District. Last week, we spoke to Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer about the plans he's considering for part of the 9,000-acre plot that includes homes, mixed use, and industrial development. The mayor vowed that taxpayers wouldn't be left holding the bill. For a different perspective on this project, we'll hear from two people critical of SEDA, beginning with Dylan Savory. Dylan is the executive director of the Labor Council, representing unionized workers in Fresno, Madera, Tulare, and Kings counties. Dylan is wary of the project racking up too much debt, especially with other major projects already planned within city limits.
The original SEDA that we just pushed back on, you know, this last effort in December, that was 45,000 houses. And so we're talking about, like, you know, he's awfully good at politicking. Mayor Dyer is extremely charismatic, and I don't doubt that he wants to make everybody happy. The problem is part of the people he's trying to make happy don't have Fresno's best interest in mind, and those are developers, specifically Ed Cashin, commercial developers that have been projecting growth into that area for the last 25 years and have millions of dollars to gain.
You're talking about SEDA when you're talking about that area.
Yeah. So downtown, I mean, we are huge advocates of redevelopment along the city's heartbeat and corridor, and, you know, all kinds of redevelopment. We're, you know, Joaquin Arambula and Ashley Swearingen and the mayor, I think, all worked together to get the $200 million from the governor to redevelop downtown. We've been high-speed rail advocates forever. Things should be done to rectify the problems of the last two decades of sprawl. But we can't sprawl at the same time, and we're not going to build 9,000 acres and 45,000 new homes. It's bigger than Clovis. So the mayor's pivoted, now that he's lost the public debate on the full SEDA, to South SEDA. But we magically have to pass the whole plan just in case we need it in future growth, which is, we'll get into the phasing model down the road. If we start building too rapidly with sprawl and overburden ourselves with debt, because we have no bonding capacity as is, the mayor or his administration have not given us a financing plan for this growth at all. And they want to do that after the fact. After they pass the plan, they want to do the financing, which is not how good development works. We are afraid from a construction perspective that all of the good construction that we have going now in the city under the project labor agreement could fail at some point if the city starts going bankrupt or is upside down on its finances or can't meet its bonds. So you can't mortgage the future when we already have future plans. I mean, we need to focus on what is in the pipeline and what is completable now. And that's the difficult part, is we're not going to throw away the current work that we have if the city defaults in the future.
Got it. So you're afraid that there could just be too much pressure all at once that, you know, we wouldn't be able to support, basically.
I mean, I'm not afraid. It's that the mayor has not, he has not released one piece of information about how this plan would be financed, how it would pay for itself, which they keep saying, any sort of financial documents. So it's show us how you're going to pay for it and then propose it on its face. But don't tell us, don't give us a wink and a nod and that we're going to pay for it later or that the developers are going to pay for it by themselves with a plan that nobody's seen.
Now, the mayor and his administration, they are working on a plan to present that information. This is after that big city council meeting in December where they decided, hey, we need some more information. They're going to plan to present that this summer. I guess, you know, what would it take to have you guys agree to come on board with something like that? Would you agree to develop a smaller portion like South Seda that, you know, the mayor has been talking about?
Well, it's helpful to understand that I represent a democratic organization of affiliated unions that make collective decisions. It's not always unanimous. It usually is. But we're currently on the record of holding the administration accountable for the environmental impact report that they have put forward for all of SEDA. They have not rescinded the full SEDA. We didn't defeat the full SEDA. They are just saying that they are going to break SEDA down into four quadrants, and they're going to phase the first phase, and then they're going to tell us how they're going to pay for that. Now, technically, that's not legal. They have fundamentally changed the plan. They're going to get, we're going to sue them. There's no way around what they're doing legally. And so what they're going to try to do is they're going to propose all of these benefits for the full SEDA, but say it's only going to, on the presentation, because we know people, we talk to people, they are going to say, this is how much it costs, and this is what is going to get, here's the benefits. But the benefits they're going to propose for all of SEDA, but the costs that they're going to show in their portfolio when they present to council is only going to be for, quote, South SEDA. We should acknowledge that the trust between this administration, previous administrations, the history of city government in Fresno, and the existing city residents in the neighborhoods that are broken is at zero. So no matter how charismatic the mayor is and how well-intentioned I think he is being led by a city manager who used to work for the largest commercial real estate developer in the city's history, who is driving this project. So there's no way to uncouple and get us to the negotiation table and say, here's what we really want to do, and here's what we're telling council we want to pass. There's just a gap there. There's a delta. So if they only propose South SEDA and they completely remove the phasing model, the community would have a completely different discussion in its hands. But they are just telling people this is only South SEDA, but the EIR that they want to pass will give them legal authority to unphase this all at once whenever they have a Thursday meeting.
Yes, and they are proposing all 9,000 acres because to do smaller bits would be what is called piecemealing, which can't be done.
That's actually, can I clarify that?
Mm-hmm, sure.
That is George N. White's big talking point. We have a lawyer on our team that has sued the city, I think more successfully than anybody in recent memory, and won. And she is very familiar with piecemealing. And this is not, this would not meet the legal definition of piecemealing, according to our attorney. And so you just master plan South SEDA and you work towards a plan that's not as big as the original plan. We think that we're going to win that argument in court.
That was my conversation with Dylan Savory, Executive Director of the Labor Council. Now we turn to an education perspective, specifically Fresno Unified, the third largest school district in California with over 65,000 students. The district is facing a financial crisis. Student enrollment is declining and jobs are being slashed as the district contends with a budget deficit. I spoke to Veva Islas. She's president of the Fresno Unified School Board. We discuss SEDA from a socioeconomic lens.
My background's in public health, right? Mm-hmm. So I look at things in terms of like what growth has meant to the health and well-being of our communities when it's not done correctly. And I think that there is a lot of evidence that we can see within our existing community about new areas getting investments like sidewalks and bike lanes and parks, or, you know, just the amount of commerce that is interested in going into these new vibrant places, right? And it really does create a desert for existing core neighborhoods that are already underserved and that are already having to travel, you know, distances away from their homes in order to access services. So I think that's always the lens that I'm looking at that. Like, what does it mean to people's ability to walk safely in their neighborhoods when there isn't investments to improve their sidewalks or to add trees or street lighting? What is the impact to the diet and the nutrition when full service grocery stores aren't being placed in the neighborhoods where they live, right? Like, there's much more access to liquor stores and convenience stores that sell things that aren't health promoting necessarily. And so that's, I think, my first lens at things. I think there's also a lens as someone who did grow up in poverty about what does this growth mean to the people that are already living in our communities? Is there new job opportunities? Will there be job training? Is there a real benefit back to disadvantaged community members economically? And then, of course, like as a school board member, I think that's the piece that's been most disturbing to me. And that is about, we are under so much strain right now just because of our decreasing enrollment and our high absentee rates that we're being forced to make cuts that aren't good for our community, for our district. And when something like SATA is in the mix, the jeopardy that that also creates in terms of pulling people away from our district, I think that worries me tremendously. So yeah, I wouldn't say that I ever looked at this as like, oh, how amazing, right? Like we're getting new growth. I look at this really from an area of worry about what it means to our core neighborhoods in Central and South Fresno and what it could mean in terms of compromising our district.
Yeah, you're really looking at it much more broadly outside of just a school district lens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some could argue that SATA is not even anywhere close to being developed yet, but Fresno Unified still has a lot of issues that it is dealing with, like you just mentioned, decreasing enrollment and test scores that are low. So is it fair to say that SATA has nothing to do with what's happening at Fresno Unified?
I think if you understand how school districts receive funding, then you see a clear connection to projects like SATA. So we get funding based on the number of students that are enrolled in our district and the average daily attendance, right? The number of kids that are coming every day, sitting in class and learning. And when growth happens and it pulls people who have the means to buy a new home outside of our district, it means that we're going to have less, right? We're going to have less students. Less students mean that we're not going to have the same opportunity to sustain our talent, our teachers, all the other positions that are ancillary within our district. And so, yes, there is a direct line. But I think there's also a connection that is a little bit further that people may not appreciate. And that's the jeopardy that we also create for ourselves in being able to fulfill commitments, our commitments to our retirees, our commitments to offering health insurance. When we have less people that are employed, the risk pool is greater. And so it's a greater cost to individual participants in those programs. So I'm not sure that our local city governance, our mayor, is really considering the impact in those terms. And then I would also say that we want to make sure that we're doing things like preserving farmland. Having greater access to locally grown foods is good for our economy. It is good for our farmers, and it is good for the health and well-being of our community. I see plenty of neighborhoods within the region that I represent where there are abandoned buildings, where there is undeveloped, like brownfield type things, where there could be a lot more value add in terms of bike lanes or walking trails, where there's great safety concerns, where there's not enough green space. And so all of that means to me that we're not focusing enough on completing and refurbishing our existing neighborhoods. We want to attract people to Fresno. We want people to come and live here. We want parents to want to send their kids to Fresno Unified. We don't need to create disadvantage. We need to be creating more investments that build advantage and interest for people to stay and live here.
Yeah, it sounds like this is really sort of a domino effect that's been happening in the district. You know, I'd like to understand a little bit for people who may not know, there were some studies done, right, with the district looking at some of the impacts. Can you talk about that? How did that sort of influence, you know, your decision to speak out about SEDA?
Well, I think there certainly is evidence about the projections of loss of our students in relation to SEDA. That is motivating. I think that's the basis of why I brought forward a resolution to oppose SEDA as the president of Fresno Unified School District. And I think that we heard a number of parents, a number of community leaders who really wanted us to take this stance against it because they are also seeing the writing on the wall about how this is detrimental to maintaining a healthy environment, how this could be a loss of opportunity for small business owners, for targeted economic development within our existing neighborhoods. And I want us to keep our eye also on that there is not only a path to economic development, that economic development should serve the interests of our communities and not just the interests of future developers.
Yeah, you know, when we spoke to a lot of people about this issue, including Mayor Dyer, a lot of what was brought up was, well, you know, Fresno Unified just needs to improve its scores. It just needs to do better. Is that just an oversimplification? How would you respond to that directive or that criticism?
Yeah, I think what that statement is telegraphing is someone who is really uninformed about all the efforts that we currently have underway to improve our educational outcomes and the progress that we have made, right? Like, you don't turn around a district as large as Fresno Unified in a month or a week, right? Like, this takes long-term investment and it takes a lot of planning. And I would also say this, though, that when our kids are in families that have well-paying jobs, those kids will do better because of the stability, right? When our kids are growing up in environments where there is less crime, where there are more parks, where there is more infrastructure for them to recreate and engage in daily activity, that is good for the physical and mental health of our children. And those things that I'm pointing to are things that are outside of the purview of the school district, but do sit squarely within the responsibility and the decision-making and the policies of our local governments, our city and county. So let's talk about what the city is doing to build those jobs for people where they live, or the internship opportunities that they're creating for young people. In Fresno Unified, we have a number of career technical education opportunities where our children are learning about construction and heavy diesel mechanics, and they're on pathways to becoming nurses and doctors, right? Like, all of those youth need employment opportunities, right? And I think the more that we invest in creating vibrant communities is the more likelihood that our kids are going to be successful and that they're going to stay long-term to serve the needs that we have as a community.
That was my conversation with Veva Islas. She's the president of the Fresno Unified School Board. If you'd like to hear our conversation with Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer about why he supports SEDA, tune into our June 4th episode. Dyer gives an overview of the project. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Elizabeth Arkalian, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.